This is the UCLA Mindful Awareness Research Center's weekly podcast from the Hammer Museum, where we experience and explore mindfulness. Each week, Diana Winston, or one of Mark's mindfulness teachers, leads a 30-minute guided session offering a variety of themes and practices to cultivate self-awareness, emotion regulation, and increased well-being. Thanks for joining us.
How do I practice with difficult people? There are so many people who really bug me and upset me, and the news upsets me, and things are upsetting me. How do I practice with difficult people? That's a short answer, right? It's really easy. So I thought about it, you know, because this is really the ultimate, I think, aim for this practice is, how do I show up with others, especially now, right? And it made me think about a guy named Dr. Daniel Kahneman, who's a Nobel Prize winner in psychology, economics. And he came out with a book called Thinking Fast and Slow. And in there, he talks about there's two kinds of thinking, System 1 and System 2. And he tells a funny story about it. He says that one night he was driving home with his wife after a dinner party at a doctor's house, and there's a little lull in the conversation, and he heard his wife say, "You know, I really admire Dr. Smith. He undresses the maid himself." And he looked at her incredulously and said, "What gibberish are you talking about? Did you have too much to drink? What an idiotic thing to say." And so they hashed it out. And she said, "What I told you was, he doesn't underestimate himself." And he was certain he heard, "He undresses the maid himself." And he said, this is an example of System 1 thinking. It's quick. It's automatic. It's reflexive. Nature prefers it because it saves on glucose for the brain, and it's helpful for survival. And he said the thing that was really compelling for him was that he was absolutely certain that his PhD wife had too much to drink and she was going crazy. He had no doubt in his own perception. That's System 1. System 2 thinking is time-intensive, resource-intensive, takes a lot of glucose from the brain. It requires education, reason, analysis, deliberation, experience. And he says the problem is that a lot of the time we're using System 1 thinking, we're in System 2. And so I started to think about this. Does this affect our relationships? And what can we do? And really, mindfulness is this capacity to pay attention to my inner and outer experience with more and more granularity, more and more specificity. And if I want to understand other people, I might need to understand how my System 1 boxes them up into easy to understand stereotypes or sound bites or whatever it might be. So we're going to practice today with developing some concentration, developing some attention that is grounded in the body. And then we'll play with the ability to use this attention to notice our own thinking in a simple observational way. I'll guide you through it. And just one little note. First of all, you don't have to be good at it. You just have to have an experience. So don't try and perfect anything. And the second thing that's helpful is that mindfulness is observation. It's not analysis. It's not trying to figure things out in the moment of practice. Your brain's going to be doing that all throughout the rest of the day. You don't need to practice at that right now. Right now, what we could do is actually practice cultivating this special meta attention that can observe the mind and take it from there. So find a position that's comfortable for you. Let's listen. So just taking a moment to notice what it's like to be inside. This transition to eyes closed and listening with the felt sense that I'm inside. And there's still sounds around me. And there's the felt sense of my body. And so allow your attention to open and take in the feeling of your body in the chair. Notice what parts of the body your attention goes to. What's salient? You might find as you scan your body that you need a little more relaxation, and so you could try a couple of deeper breaths if you feel like you need them. And you could ride the exhale into a kind of resting down into your chair, softening muscles around the face and neck and shoulders and arms and hands, allowing the torso to soften, letting the belly fall. I could experiment with letting my legs slightly part and let the hips relax at the top of my sit bones. And so we're going to ground attention in receiving the body sensations of breath. And there are at least 5 places you could find this: at the nostrils, or if your mouth is open, at the lips and tongue, at the back of the throat, or the movement of the chest or the belly, or some combination. Let's see if you can open your attention and take in what's already there, these sensations. And see if you could become simple about it without having to think it. Just let it happen and attend. Just by attending to the breath and the body doesn't mean that this thought stream stops. So we're not trying to stop the thought stream. It's a function of parts of the brain. But we are trying to reauthor our attention and place it where we wish to place it, rather than letting the brain take it wherever it wants. Every time you notice that you don't know whether you're breathing in or breathing out through touch, gently acknowledge that moment and come back. Find out where your breath is in your body and return just to observing. busy mind, calm mind. It doesn't really matter. What matters is, do I observe busy mind? Do I observe calm mind without rejecting anything or trying to hold on to anything? Just resting in witnessing. It doesn't seem like I can control how often my mind wanders or for how long. But the moment I notice, that's the movement upstream of a new kind of attention, strengthening. And so now we'll use simple thought, simple label. Right at that moment, if I notice that I've been thinking, I'll just use that label and I'll say it twice, thinking, thinking to myself, and then immediately come back to the body, find the breath as it's actually happening, as a sensation. So a simple label without judgment, without efforts to control, just thinking, and return to the breathing body. If you're engaging in that labeling practice, let it go now and just come back to the overall sense of your body. Has your forehead or the muscles around the eyes tightened? Muscles around the lips and jaw and tongue, neck? If you'd like to soften, let go. Arms, hands, fingers. Torso, hips, legs, and feet. Sink down into gravity's pull, into the chair. And moving into a third exercise. I'm really being very precise now, following the breath very closely. The very beginning of the inhalation, the very beginning of the exhalation, following it all the way until it fades into that rest interval. And of course, attention will wane and your mind will wander at some point. And when you discover that point, Just take a snapshot of observation. Where are your thoughts about other people? Just a snapshot. No analysis. Just take it in. And then come back to the breath. See what you notice. Can let go of that exercise and come back again to the body. Grounding ourselves in less tension, more relaxation, more openness. And from that place, I could also notice something about my feeling. How do I feel right now? And can I open an attitude of acceptance and curiosity and friendliness towards whatever this experience has been for me. So we can begin to gently invite the room back in as you can and wish to. But this very, very beginning first step in recognizing that there's this thought stream that's happening all the time and that I could bear witness to it in a way that allows me to know more about myself, more about this mind that is naming and describing the world to me. And I'll end with some words from a poet, Alison Luderman, in her poem Next. Try to love everything that gets in your way. The Chinese women in flowered bathing caps, murmuring together in Mandarin, doing leg exercises in your lane, while you execute 36 furious laps. Did not completely manifest. How about that? Wait, there must be a way. There we go. Thirty-six furious laps, one for every item on your to-do list. The heavy-bellied man who thrashes through the water like a horse with a harpoon stuck in its side, whose breathless tsunamis rock you from your course. Teachers all, learn to be small and swim through obstacles like a minnow, without grudges or memory. Dart toward your goal, sperm to egg. Thinking obstacle is another obstacle. Try to love the teenage girl idly lounging against the ladder, showing off her new tattoo. This life is mine, in thick blue-black letters on her ivory instep. She'll be glad to have that to look at all her life. And keep going, keep going. Swim by an uncle in the lane next to yours, who is teaching his nephew how to hold his breath underwater, even though kids aren't allowed at this hour. Someday, years from now, this boy who is kicking and flailing in the exact place you want to touch and turn will be a young man at a wedding on a boat, raising his champagne glass in a toast when a huge wave hits, washing everyone overboard. He'll come up coughing and spitting like he is now, but he'll come up like a cork, alive. So your moment of impatience must bow in service to a larger story. Because if something is in your way, it is going your way. The way of all beings, towards darkness, towards light. It's been a pleasure to practice with you.
Thanks for listening to UCLA Mindful Awareness Research Center's weekly podcast from the Hammer Museum. For more information on our classes, workshops, and retreats, please go to marc.ucla.edu. That's marc.ucla.edu. Join us each week for a new lesson in mindfulness.